Well, let's turn back to the reading, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. Now, at the risk of repeating myself too much, can I just remind you again what Paul is doing in this letter? He's worried about the church at Colossae. He's worried that they might be led astray by some people who claimed that they could lead the Colossian church on into deeper insights and bring them to what they called fullness, greater fullness. They said, well, Epaphras, he was okay as far as he went, but just a bit unadventurous perhaps. And it closed his mind to some things that these people knew all about. And they probably called them mysteries, secrets. They'd been initiated into these secrets and they could pass the secrets on to others. And these things were in addition to the gospel that had been preached to them by Epaphras. Well, we've seen in this letter to the Colossians Paul's response to this, and his response quite simply is Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus is God's fullness. Therefore, God has nothing for us in addition to Jesus, nothing at all. After all, Jesus is the one who brought creation and the new creation into being. We read that magnificent poem in chapter 1, or hymn. It's probably an early Christian hymn, either written by Paul himself or just quoted in the letter, about Jesus being the one through whom creation came into being and through whom the church, the new creation, came into being. So there can hardly be anything more for us than Jesus, the one through whom creation and the church came into being. And therefore, as we looked last week, the task of church leaders is simply to fully proclaim Jesus Christ. That's all they've got to do. They fully proclaim Jesus Christ. He is the mystery, Paul says, using one of the buzzwords of the false teachers. He is God's mystery. He is the secret that God kept hidden for ages. And now he's revealed the secret. And now that it's revealed, well, of course, it needs to be made fully known to everybody. He is the wisdom. He is the knowledge. He is the perfection. He is the fullness. We need nothing in addition to Jesus Christ. And he has fully reconciled sinners to God. Chapter 1, verse 19, 20, 21, 22. Everything that has been reconciled to God has been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. There's no other mediator, there's nobody else who can reconcile us to God, and his blood shed on the cross reconciled anything at all that's been reconciled in this universe to God. It's been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his blood shed on the cross. And therefore, to try to add to him or to try to add to his work is inevitably to detract from him and to detract from his work. And Paul warns them in verse 8 here, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. In other words, if it's not Christ, if it's in addition to Christ, it's not from God, it's deceptive, it's human, it's worldly, it is not from God if it's in addition to Christ, because Christ is all that God has for us, and therefore it's in addition. If it's in addition to Christ, then it can't be from God, it must therefore be from man, or from the devil himself. Now, I've used the illustration a couple of times in this series on Colossians, and I'll use it again, of the computer, the PC. I've got a PC, I've got a computer. Trouble is, I don't know much about it. I probably am familiar with about 1% of what it is capable of doing. But it's all there. It's all there. I don't need an upgrade. I just need to get to know my computer better. I need to find out what it can do. If I thought that there was a vital part of my PC missing, then I'd be spending my time going around shops looking for this vital missing part, or getting in touch with the manufacturer trying to get this vital missing part, instead of enjoying my computer. So, it's exactly the same with Jesus Christ. Growth in Christ, more about Jesus, yes, definitely, absolutely. There must be progress in the Christian life. We must not stagnate. More about Jesus, definitely. More about Jesus, would I know. Additions to Jesus, never. Progress in our knowledge of Jesus, yes. Additions to Jesus, no. So we come to verses 6 and 7, which are two important verses. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. The message is, go on as you began. Go on as you began. You don't need an addition to the gospel. You'll never move beyond the gospel. You'll never move beyond Jesus Christ. If you try to, it'll turn out to be a huge diversion. You don't move beyond the gospel, says Paul. Go back to the gospel. Go back to the gospel. Go on believing it. As you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Now that's a reference to when the Colossians first received the gospel message from Epaphras. You can read about that in chapter 1. You learned it, verse 7. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. They received the gospel from Epaphras. Now that verb received is a technical rabbinic term. It was a term used by the Jewish rabbis of New Testament times. They passed on teaching. They passed on a body of teaching to their disciples, and their disciples received the teaching from the rabbi, and they received it in order to pass it on to their disciples in turn. It was a technical rabbinic term. And Paul says, you received the gospel message. You received the facts of the gospel. He went on Epaphras' Christianity Explored course. You received the facts of the gospel from Epaphras. That's what he means there when it talks about receiving Christ. It doesn't mean putting up your hand in a meeting or anything like that. It means you learned, you understood the gospel message. You understood the facts of the gospel message. You received the message, the facts from Epaphras. Now the heart of that message that you received, says Paul, was Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That was the heart of the gospel message. Remember Romans 10 and 9, a favourite verse of mine? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is Lord. The very first gospel message, Acts chapter 2, the first gospel message ever preached, this Jesus who you crucified, so this is pretty serious, this Jesus who you crucified, God, by raising Him from the dead, has made both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the risen Lord. The Jesus we crucify is the risen Lord. That was at the heart of the message that they'd received from Epaphras. That's what they'd heard, that's what they'd believed from the very beginning. So to become a Christian means to accept Jesus as Lord. To become a Christian means to accept Jesus as Lord. As you received Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Go on as you began. So you began by receiving Jesus as Lord. Now there is a false teaching which is virtually confined exclusively to evangelicals. It's a very serious false teaching. It's as serious as any error that you'll find in Catholicism or liberalism. And the false teaching is this, that receiving Jesus as Lord is part two of the Christian life. Everybody receives Jesus as Saviour. And then some people, keen ones, people who go to the Keswick Convention and places like that, they receive Jesus as Lord. So you've got your ordinary average Christian who's received Jesus as Saviour, but he might be living miles away from the way the Lord Jesus wants him to live. He just hasn't received Jesus as Lord. Nobody's told him to receive Jesus as Lord. He's been told to receive Jesus as Saviour. He needs to go to Keswick or somewhere and hear that he ought to receive Jesus as Lord as well. You know, that is an extremely dangerous error. It really is. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And if you receive him at all, you receive him as Lord. Because he is Lord. You come under his lordship. That means you cease to be in charge of your own life anymore when you become a Christian. Now, of course, you go on discovering more and more throughout your Christian life what it actually means in practice to have Jesus as Lord in your life. And more of our lives come under his rule as we go on in the Christian life. We learn about more and more things that, I hadn't realized that Jesus wants me to not to do that but to do this. We'll be learning what it means to have Jesus as Lord throughout our Christian lives. But in principle, we receive Jesus as Lord when we're converted. That's how we begin the Christian life. As you receive Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this is very, very important. I mean, I was brought up almost, I don't blame my parents, I don't mean to say that they brought me up like this, but when I was a young Christian, I heard lots of this kind of teaching. You didn't have to accept Jesus as Lord if you didn't want to. As long as you'd accepted him as Saviour, you were going to heaven. You didn't have to accept him as Lord as well. Just a few keen people who went out on the mission field or something did that. But the New Testament says that receiving Jesus as Lord is becoming a Christian. We receive Jesus as Lord when we become Christian. Of course, we need him to be our Saviour as well. Because even though, in principle, we're under his lordship, we constantly fail him, and we constantly need his atoning death for our sins, not to mention the sins, of course, before we ever became Christian. So we need him as our Saviour, definitely. But he's not going to stop being Lord just for you. God has made him Lord and Christ. We don't make Jesus Lord. God has made him Lord. That's what he is. And therefore, when we accept Jesus, we accept him as what he is. The one who God has made, Lord and Christ. So you receive Jesus as Lord, says Paul. He takes that for granted, and he adds in verse 6, therefore continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. And the verb is to walk in him. In other words, You've started, so continue as you started. You began by receiving him as Lord. Well, go on like that. Go on every day under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to live the Christian life. You began by accepting his lordship. Carry on under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. You were rooted in him. That's where your roots are, in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, now grow in him. Be built up in him. You're rooted in him. Be built up in him. Grow in him. It's not that you need to be transplanted into some better soil somewhere. You were rooted into the correct soil. You were rooted in Jesus Christ when you became a Christian. Now grow up in him. The whole plant is potentially present in the seed and in the root. All it needs to do now is grow and blossom and bear fruit. But it blossoms and bears fruit in exactly the same way in which it was rooted. In Christ. In the lordship of Christ. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. In other words, you don't need some new teaching. Epaphras did a good job. You don't need some good new teaching. You just need to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. You need to grow stronger in the faith that Epaphras taught you. And your faith needs to grow. Remember how Jesus talked about people with little faith. And he talked about people with great faith. He commended people with great faith. He was a little bit disappointed sometimes with people with little faith. Now that doesn't mean to say that we start getting introspective about our faith and examining our faith and seeing whether it's great enough and putting our faith in faith. We don't put our faith in faith. It means that the object of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, becomes more and more real to us. Our confidence in him gets deeper and deeper and deeper as we see just who he is and what he's done. Just as my confidence in using my personal computer will develop as I get to know it better, as I get to more and more instruction. I need to get David Smith around somebody or somebody like that, David Smith too, just to show me what this wretched computer can actually do. If I do that, if I get more and more instruction in how the computer works and what it can do, then I'll become more and more confident in using the computer. My faith, if you like, in the computer, my confidence in the computer will grow. It's not that I need a new computer. It's just that I need to get to know my computer better. It's not that I need some addition to Jesus Christ that God hasn't given me. I just need to go get to know Jesus Christ better. And overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Instead of fretting that there might be something that God hasn't given me, some secret into which I haven't been initiated, Paul says I should be overflowing with thankfulness for all that God has given me in Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life, overflowing with thankfulness. That's one of the distinctive themes, incidentally, of the letter to the Colossians. It occurs over and over again. Let's just look at them. Chapter 1, verse 3. 1:3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He mentions thankfulness over and over and over again in Colossians. Why? Because the whole point of Colossians is to say, look, you don't need to worry about something that God hasn't given you. He's given you all He's got to give in Jesus Christ. Therefore, for goodness sake, be thankful. Don't fret about what you haven't got. Be thankful for what you've got. That's the message of Colossians. And I really do think this is incredibly important. I think we need to hear this. It's refreshed me just to look at it again. I mean, when I was a young Christian, there used to be Christians who went from convention to convention. I've got nothing against the Keswick Convention, incidentally. I'm going for the second week this year as a holiday. And there's quite a good man who's a chairman of it, actually, as well. But I've got nothing against the Keswick Convention. But there used to be people who went from convention to convention, conference to conference, seeking something that they thought was missing from their spiritual experience. Something vital. And they thought, well, this particular conference speaker, and there were a number of idolized conference speakers who people thought had the secret. They could initiate you into the secret of how to live the victorious Christian life. Never occurred to me that a victorious Christian life would actually be a sinless Christian life, wouldn't it? And we're not going to live a sinless Christian life until we get to heaven. So people went around from conference to conference, convention to convention, speaker to speaker, book to book, seeking this thing that was missing from their spiritual experience. The secret of victorious Christian living. Some second blessing. Well, I'm sorry, but I just don't find it anywhere in the Apostle Paul's writing. I don't find it anywhere at all in the writings of the New Testament. All I see in Paul's writings is just the emphasis on being thankful that all God for everything that God has given me in Jesus Christ. He's given me everything. Therefore, I should be thankful for what I've got. I mean, what can be greater than chapter 1, verses 12 and 13? Giving thanks to the Father, 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Is there anything greater than that? Or chapter 1 again, verse 19. God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything beyond that? I doubt it. In fact, I deny it. And looking back, I'm afraid I have to say that a lot of these folk, and they included myself, because I used to go from conference to conference and book to book, seeking this missing thing. In fact, I've actually personally had two or three of these extra blessings. You know, I've actually been forward at meetings, and I've been prayed for, and had all kinds of extra blessings, and none of them worked. None of them made me into the Christian I wish I was. And I'm still not the Christian I wish I was yet. And I don't think I will be until I get to glory. But it's all there in Jesus Christ. It's not that he hasn't given me anything. It's just that I'm so lazy and I just won't read the instruction book. Can't be bothered to read the instruction book and really get to grips with this computer. That's why my Christian life isn't as it should be. So I have to say that some of these folk, including myself, were just extremely badly taught. I mean, we just didn't sit through expositions of Romans or great books like that. We were just extremely badly taught. And we always thought that there was something that God hadn't given to us, which is nonsense, because he's given us everything in Jesus Christ. So Paul says, no, don't let anyone rob you of the joy that should be yours in Christ. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Don't let people do it to you. Don't let people do it to you. Because, he says, verse 9, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form. And, verse 10, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. You've got the fullness. You've got it. It's in Christ. You've been given the fullness in Christ. Don't look anywhere else for it. In Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. What a glorious statement that is. In Christ, we have God. And there is nothing of God missing from Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is nothing beyond Christ. Let me quote my good friend Philip Arthur. There is no more of God. Apparently only his mother ever calls him Philip. So I'll say Phil. My good friend Phil Arthur. There is no more of God to be known than can be found in him. You will not discover more of God by moving from Christ. Leave him behind and you leave God behind. If you have Jesus, there is nothing more to be had. Is he not enough to satisfy the longings of every human heart? That's from his little evangelical press commentary on Colossians. An excellent little commentary. And it was through reading that little commentary, just as my own daily Bible reading, that I decided to preach this series of sermons on Colossians. If you owned everything but didn't have Christ, you would have nothing, as we've been thinking in Ecclesiastes recently. If you have Christ and you had nothing else, you'd have all you'd need for eternity. That's the message of Colossians. So we should be overflowing with thankfulness for what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Overflowing with thankfulness.